we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from Parents News, read by Peter Donaldson.
21st to 25th of August, Richmond Nursery Road Playing Fields. 10 to 12 noon, 10 to 16-year-olds archery. This course is aimed at beginners.
Thank you, Denise Tomlinson of Twickenham, for sending us that cutting. Now, let's meet the teams. First, will you welcome on my right, from The Guardian, Francis Ween, and from Radio 4's World at One, Nick Clark. Facing them, on my left, Times columnist Alan Corran, and from The Daily Telegraph, Jane Thin. And before we start round one, here's a fun gift idea from the Orvis gift catalogue.
Orvis Cracker Thrower. You thought sporting clays was fun, just wait until you try sporting crackers. Put a Ritz cracker or two in this handheld thrower and you can toss these tiny targets up to 60 yards. They fly at amazing speeds and provide a fabulous challenge for even the best shot. You can throw singles or doubles, inexpensive, and what's left outside is completely biodegradable. The Orvis Cracker Thrower. £19.50.
Oh, thanks, Miss J. Fortin of Kingston, for sending us that. Francis, your question is first. Who cared to change rules to help the old housekeeping?
This could well be to do with, I thought it was something to do with care in the community or that sort of thing, some new Peter Lilly initiative to exterminate single mothers. But in fact, it's to do with another single mother, the Princess of Wales, or rather her friend, Will Carling, I think.
No.
This is about pensions.
No. Yes.
We were ready to hit you with Fatty Clark and his deep concern for the aged.
Isn't it this rather sick joke about how pensioners have to sell their houses before they can get residential care? Which is a particularly sick joke because nobody can sell their house or get residential care. But now Kenneth Clark's decided to reform things, and he says if you're middle class and you've got a private pension, you don't have to sell your house. So a few people are happy, but not very many.
This was Kenneth Clark's revision of the pension laws intended to help the elderly in residential care keep their homes. It's of little help to most of us, said Age Concern. Still, mustn't grumble. John Major prompted the change so that children can inherit their parents' assets. Wills are being revised to include the standard wording, I leave my negative equity to my son and the next 20 years' repayments to my daughter. Visiting one nursing home, Ken Clark was greeted by shouts of, hip, hip! It wasn't a cheer, it was a request. Nick, your question now. What job lot of suspicious claims were to our benefit?
An awful, awful lot of people have been going along to the DSS and claiming money they shouldn't have been. Billions and millions and billions of pounds worth of them. And Peter Lilly is investigating everyone personally. That's why he hasn't been on the radio or television recently. He's out there in one of those detector vans with a very, very tall aerial and a very small, these magnifying glasses that looks. And he's there. So watch out. When you go home tonight, look very, very carefully outside your front door. And if there's a small man peering out of the window of a steamed-up Ford Granada, it's Peter Lilly. Looking for your fraudulent claim.
It was the DSS who saved £92 million by cracking down on fraudulent dole claimants. Some were caught because they turned up at the DSS driving a gas-board van. It never occurred to them that anyone could imagine the gas board working. The cheats included a couple of grannies. UB40. No, I be 75 next Monday. Inspectors even uncovered two extras from Coronation Street who were claiming unemployment benefit. If they didn't want anyone to know they were actors, they should have got parts in Prisoner Cell Block H. Jay, nice to have you on the programme again. Who was a bit green to accept a piece of film?
BBC is so used to being pressurised by people at the Conservative Party, but because the Tory propaganda's been a bit more lamentable of late, it's had to fall victim to people like Greenpeace, who are now the new villains of the piece, and have been forcing their pictures of seal cubs and oil refineries onto the news. And the BBC hasn't been able to stop them.
Yes. This all happened at the Edinburgh TV Festival. Channel 4's head of news, David Lloyd, admitted being manipulated by Greenpeace into showing only the bad side of seal clubbing. Another newsman said that the use of campaigners' video packages was the thin end of the very large wedge. And in future, could it all be in used fivers, please?
I wonder what organisation was responsible for getting this on the air. I think there should be an investigation, don't you?
It certainly wasn't Greenpeace. No. Hairpiece, possibly. Anyway. Talking of which, Alan, here's a piece of music. Cat Stevens and the first cut is the deepest. Your question is, what healthy rations might not be good for you? Alan. Deep health cuts. Deep health cuts.
Is this to do with health cuts?
It's to do with health cuts.
There's a programme of health cuts.
Yes.
It's quite likely to be very bad for all of us, especially as I, who suffer really badly with my eyes and have been unable to read newspapers all week, have not seen anything about health cuts. They've rather snuck up on me from behind. But I assume that if I turn up at Moorfields Eye Hospital and say, can I have a pair of those glasses, they will say, no, you can have a monocle. Is that it?
No, it isn't.
It's rationing in the health service. There's a report showing there's a lot of health authorities are no longer willing to do routine operations, varicose veins, wisdom teeth, that sort of thing, and they've introduced the concept of rationing. So when you go in for hip replacement, you come out with some... a lot of powdered egg instead. Is it right?
That'll do for me. These are the measures designed to cut down operations the NHS deemed unnecessary. Little things like employing doctors and putting beds in wards. Treatments no longer available include tooth modelling, bat ear correction, and sex changes. So that's the transvestite vampire vote gone. Some operations are only available to outpatients, while vasectomy reversals are offered to in-out patients. I won't have the shake it all about bit, but anyway, let me tell you that amazingly, at the end of all that farrago, the scores are tied at 3-3. We start round two with this programme listing from The Times, sent to us by Dr. John Bursko of South Humberside.
Radio 2, 10 o'clock. Katie and Friends. In the first of a new series about animals, Katie Boyle meets the Princess Royal.
Thank you, Doctor. Francis, who said let them drink Coke, e by gum?
I would say the ingredients of this story, as a guess, are Yorkshire and Coca-Cola and a company called Yorkshire Water.
Right.
Would that be right?
That would be absolutely
Yorkshire Water, which is apparently now so unpopular that it's told its staff not to wear uniforms anymore because it's afraid they'll be attacked if they're spotted and recognised, has been endearing itself still more this week by sending letters to businesses in the local area, among other things, saying if you're worried about the drought, why don't you just move your business somewhere else in the country until it's over?
Not go just down the country, anywhere.
Anywhere, really.
Anywhere, yes. Little rock hall.
Why don't you just close down, sack your staff, and then you won't be affected by the drought.
This concerns Yorkshire Water Authority and their strange water conservation advice. Handy tips included extending staff holidays, moving businesses out of the area, and drinking less Yorkshire bitter. They sent letters to 3,000 customers, but sacked the bloke in the mailroom when he was caught blatantly licking stamps. The lack of water in the area has particularly upset local hero Jeff Boycott. He's got nothing to walk on. Nick, what was kicked into touch at a press?
Is this to do with Mr. William Carling?
Yes.
And his various lady friends?
Well, no.
And his code.
His code.
His code. I know. He's going to do it for money, basically.
The code of the Worcester.
He's going to do it for money, and he's going to play rugby for money as well.
That's right. So is everybody else?
Yeah. And everyone else is going to do it for money.
They're all
going
to do it for money.
Yeah.
It's the rugby union's decision to turn the game professional. The move to the professional code was welcomed by that bastion of amateurism, Will Carling, PLC. The International Rugby Federation took the momentous step after a one-day meeting, two communal baths, and three verses of Eskimo Nell. Jane, here's a piece of music for you.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took.
Well, Jane, what fall in standards is a question of degree.
There's been stories saying that if you failed all your A-levels, but you still want to go and read photocopying at Neasden University, they'll let you in. And I think that's a jolly good thing.
Yes,
it's
indeed.
A-levels.
It is, absolutely right. This is the revelation that students are winning university places despite failing their A-levels. Who do they think they are, royalty? The student watchdog of Scruff refuted the claim of a fall in educational standards, as did Professor Sue Pollard, Dean of the Quick Fit University of North Staffs. Alan, which Chinese meat was made up of spare ribs?
There is a women's conference, I gather, in China. I gather this from Jane. And they're gathering to change the world, are they?
Yes.
There's two, actually. There's a fun
two
one.
Two women?
There's a fun one.
In
with,
China? That's not a lot to go around. Like,
there's the NGO one with groups like Wages Due Lesbians and Housework for Women Paid and things
this
that's
is in
going
China
on.
Too.
But they put them in a vacuum, a kind of Milton Keynes of the Chinese hinterland. And then there's the genuine one, which is going on.
I don't think
on.
You're allowed to use the word women and vacuum in the same sentence. That's something that's politically unacceptable. Well, yes, very good, Jane. Smashing.
Closed your mind, Alan.
I have.
This is the United Nations Women's Forum in Peking. It's all very well, there's 30,000 women going off to discuss emancipation, but that's not going to get the beds made, is it? Amongst their odd rules, the Chinese banned delegates taking their clothes off in the back of cars. Well, that was when they thought Hugh Grant was the guest celebrity. Adding to the arguments, the Chinese official said a new rift had opened at the centre. Delegates didn't know whether to use that or stick to the escalator. And the scores at the end of round two are still tied at 7-7. We start round three with a set of instructions to cashiers.
It should be noted that, as a safeguard, the auto-check printer records the last check number on the previous check run and will only accept the next sequentially numbered check as the first check in the next run. The first three checks in any check run are automatically voided as part of the alignment process. Hence, the first issued check in a check run has the fourth check number following the last check number in the previous run.
Francis, what code preaches safe solace?
Safe solace. This is the Church of England, which has got itself into a bit of a pickle over the rave Rev. He's now come out of hiding, and as a result, the Church of England has had to send a warning round all its vicars, saying, leave the hills, and also keep your hands off the congregation. I think that's the gist of the message they've been sent.
I noticed that Rafsanjani has issued an edict saying it is an offence to brush up against women in a tram in Tehran. Of course, this is a sin. And there were 7.8 million sins in Iran last year. Do you see that?
No.
That's not nearly as many as the Church of England.
Well, we have more buses than the Persians, don't we?
It's the Bishop of Oxford who's done this.
What? But it's in the Persian bus?
Yeah. I think so.
They did it 7.5 million times, I think.
He's not the same man.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
But they do it in the Church of England now. Because in the last few years, they've gone in for this business where you have to make a sign of peace to the person next to you in the congregation. And so they all hug and snog. And now the Bishop of Oxford says they've somehow got to carry on doing that while at the same time avoiding any bodily contact with anyone at all.
This refers to the Church of England's implementation of a code of conduct which it hopes will prevent its clergymen from being involved in scandals. The practical guidelines, thou shalt hide in the wardrobe, are wide-ranging from drugs, see page 1, to choir boys, see pages 2 to 98. Thank you, churchgoers. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church won't be adopting the code after a cardinal managed to break all 10 rules. What an afternoon that was. And all in a Tehran tram, too. Nick, have a listen to this. Why is it not strange that you were thinking I was about to ask you this question? And the song was It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones, and it's about
coincidences, isn't it?
It is.
It's about coincidences. It's all come to me, this. We don't understand coincidences. We don't know how it is. We would imagine that the chances of Alan Corrin telling the same joke in two editions of the news quiz would be something like, you know, 3-1, and in fact it's 5-1 on. And it's a basic misunderstanding about coincidences.
Yes, that's right.
It's probability theory, isn't it? That if you're in a party and there's 100 people you've never met, you've got a 2-1 chance that you'll meet someone who will bore on about why you'll never win the lottery.
Yes.
It's probability.
It appeared in an academic journal called the Journal of Perceptual and Motor Functions. It runs fascinating articles about how if you have four people in the room, it's almost certain that they've all been to school together and that two of them might be married to each other.
It was also in Beano, but I suppose that's just a coincidence.
This is the news that what appear to be strange coincidences are actually quite normal. According to a study sponsored by the Geoffrey Archer School of Share Dealing, it was proved that most people think that odds against certain events are much longer than they really are. For example, sharing the same birth sign with a friend or sharing the same husband with the Princess of Wales. It was also proved that to get 50-50 odds of sharing a secondary school with someone else, you need just 85 in the same room, or as Gillian Shepherd calls it, Class 3B. Jane, who won a massive Turner Prize?
Turner Prize.
Think of somebody called Turner.
Oh, Anthea. This is Anthea Turner, who presents the National Lottery, isn't it?
That's
who's
right.
Got some obscene amount of money. I can't remember how much.
600,000, wasn't it?
Her number has come up. She's got, she's now the highest paid performer apart from Michael Barrymore, though. After this.
I thought that was the Turner he was referring to.
No. No.
Is it Time for the Sun headline yet?
No.
Not Time for the Sun headline. No. We're right behind you, Michael, but not too close.
Oh, right.
It struck me, Anthea Turner is about 20,000 quid per tooth, isn't it, actually?
Yes.
20,000 a tooth.
Very good.
Lionel Barrymore must be turning in his grave.
Yeah. It's all about TV presenter, blonde and bubbly Anthea Turner, the thinking man's idiot. Anthea secured a new contract worth £600,000 to co-present GMTV's Breakfast Show, where she's had discerning viewers glued to the off switch. And she says, it will not change my way of life. Anthea famously overcame a reading difficulty to become a TV success, but we're not going to do any dyslexia jokes. They're not clever, and they're not furry. Alan, who said, that's no lady, and that's my wife-to-be?
This is not Lady Cobham. It's finally shed. Lord Cobham.
Yes.
And is marrying the radiant David Mellor.
That's right.
And they're living on an island in the Thames. A very good place for them, I should think. Chuck a bit of razor wire around it and they'll never bother anybody again. I'm bitter only because he's a successful broadcaster, by which I mean he's on 135 programmes and I'm still hobbling along here. Three biros and a glass of water. And Mellor, I understand, £12 million from various radio stations.
This is serial groom David Mellor, who has decided to tie the knot again And who's the lucky lady? His ex-wife, I suppose, anyway. Anyway, let me give you the scores at the end of that round, and they're 11 all, still tied. It's a close contest. Before we start the final round, here's a story spotted by Max from Brighton in the big issue.
Drugs courier Robert Ventham, 32, covered up a recent cannabis smuggling trip to Gibraltar by taking some golf clubs with him. I wanted to disguise the purpose of my visit, he explained. How was I to know there aren't any golf courses in Gibraltar?
Thank you, Max of Brighton. Francis, here's a piece of music for you.
You're sweet and rock star. You're heavy and dressy dance. You're Abba Taylor. A la South of France. Boulez vous. Partier with me. Then come and rest a la. With me in France.
Well, the key fact in that is that it's sung by Bill Wyman.
This I know.
So the question is, why did Bill pen a letter about the pen and ink?
Bill Wyman, former bass player in the Rolling Stones and now Suffolk Squire, has written to his local council complaining about the antisocial behaviour of his neighbours. And he said he resigned from the Rolling Stones to get away from that kind of thing, and he didn't expect to find it outside his stately pile in Suffolk. A neighbouring farmer has been muck spreading, as farmers tend to do at this time of year, and Bill, having led a sheltered life, didn't know about this. He has complained and said, we don't have this sort of thing in the country. Smell, pig manure, that sort of lark. And they said, well, if he doesn't like it, he can take himself off back to the south of France, where he used to live before, and where, of course, there are no smells whatsoever.
Bill Wyman sent a solicitor's letter to the farm next door complaining of the smell of pig manure wafting over his country estate. It was so bad for a while he thought Keith was trying out a different brand of herbal cigarette. Bill's new wife was none too pleased with the pigs either. She prefers the bar lambs and the moo cows.
The new one's a bit of an oldie. I think she's in her 20s, isn't she?
Good God. Didn't know they got that old. Anyway, during his career with the Rolling Stones, Bill had countless number one hits, but he didn't expect to have to put up with a load of number twos. Nick, who went off his trolley and had them raging in the aisles?
Hint.
I'll give you a clue. Trolley. It's a man in Bradford who's been sent to prison for a month. Yes, he was at Safeways. There used to be road rage, which was only invented a few months ago. Road rage has turned into trolley rage. But a man in a supermarket lost his temper with his trolley and has been sent to prison for it.
It's all about shopper Michael Tierney, who was convicted of trolley rage in a Dewsbury supermarket, although he did ask for 9 other offences or less to be taken. The judge sentenced him to 28 days in the infamous Safeways prison after asking the clerk of the court, how many months for this one, Tracy? Jane, what shining examples lose esteem by a hair's breadth?
This is such a cruel story. I know why you've asked me. This is how you mustn't laugh at bald men, isn't it? Unless they're 3 members of the News Quiz panel, in which case it's compulsory. It's about, I don't believe it either, it's about how bald men have low self-esteem, low sex drive. You only have to look at shining examples like Johnny Bryant springs to mind. And
what are you doing?
Mahatma Gandhi.
Or look around you and you'll see that it's complete nonsense.
Did you know that the extraordinary thing about this story is that when they did this research, they knew that bald men would lie about whether they were really depressed and whether their sex drive was at sort of 0, -3. And so what they did was they actually asked some questions about smoking, but they looked at their eyes, and if they were very, very depressed and they had hair, you know, or didn't have hair, rather, that was assumed to be bald men being miserable. So they weren't even told they were subject to this research. Outrageous.
And they only had a sample of about one person or somebody. It's all most uncivil. I think the one person was probably Neil Kinnock on election night in 1992.
This refers to a psychological study that proved bald men suffer from an irrational loss of self-esteem by testing 3 scientific groups. droops, normal hair, semi-bald and total slap heads. On the plus side, it was proved that baldness is a sign of virility. This was confirmed by New Chippendale Robert the Stud Robinson. His barber took a look at his hairstyle recently and held up a card that read, Bluff. Alan, what world favourite is flying into trouble with the world's most forgetful?
Speaking as one who parts his hair just above the waist, I think probably... this must be something... The world's most favourite is probably British Airways.
That's right.
It's the panda urine.
Go on.
I thought it was going to be about the barmaid Fiona who got hypothermia by sitting in a bath full of cold baked beans. Those are the sort of questions we used to have on the news quiz when I had hair. rather than serious things.
British Airways has discovered that a huge number of things, I mean, it's incredibly rare for British Airways to find things rather than lose them, but they've started to find things that passengers have left behind, which include things like artificial limbs and a sample of panda urine, which, if you think about it, it's probably just something left over from the in-flight meal and not recognised. And they're returning them to customers all over the world.
My favourite of this was what was described as a stripper's outfit.
Yes,
and it struck me
about that.
When I read that, I thought, what might that be?
Not very big.
No.
Well, this refers to items left by passengers on British Airways flights last month. Luckily, a stripper's outfit and a double bed were forwarded to their owner, care of the senior judge's chamber, the Old Bailey. British Airways plan to send their lost luggage to London for auction. So all you bargain hunters, head for Reykjavik. But before we reveal the final scores, let's see what the cuttings the team have brought along. Francis, have you brought a cutting?
Yes, Barry, this is from the Neston News, up in the Wirral, part of the Wirral News Group, the property column. For the non-swimmers, there are several walkways through the gardens with a wooded aspect, or you can sit in the conservatory and drink in the delights of the ornamental pond.
Nick.
Well, by one of those coincidences, extraordinary coincidence, what are the chances of two of us having a property story one after the other like that? Mine is from Halifax Property Services, and it relates to 47 Westfield Square in Goole, and it says there are four things to look out for. Two-bedroom end-terraced house, gardens, possible parking space, WCs to both floors, no chain.
Jane.
Mine has been plucked from the Thanet Gazette. We'd like to point out that the wording of a headline in Thanet Extra last week could have been misinterpreted if taken out of context. A technical error led to the words MP and pathetic being transposed over a story concerning a song which had been written about South Thanet MP Jonathan Aitken.
Alan.
Well, I couldn't get hold of it. It wasn't delivered myself. Thanet News or Ghoul Times or Perkins Diesel Reminder. I had to make do with The Guardian this week, unlike my colleagues. Wednesday's Guardian, small bit, said most Britons used to die at home. But thanks to modern medical services, 75% now die in hospital.
Well, thank you all. Now, let's look at the final scores. They're pretty simple. It's been tied all the way through, and it's still tied at the end. 15 all. Everybody wins. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Dundee Courier and Advertisers for Sale section, courtesy of Jean Patterson of Fife.
Due to bereavement, Spanish 12-bore side-by-side shotgun, non-ejector, box lock. Used only once.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Wheen, Nick Clark and Jane Finn. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Joe Clegg.